Hey, thank you for tuning in, everybody, to this week's episode. Very excited that you wanted to take the time out of your week to be able to listen to this. Before I get started into our guest, I just want to thank our presenting sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. We all know that protein is the key to muscle recovery, and best-selling 100% gold standard whey protein provides 24 grams of protein that mixes easily using just a glass and spoon. Gold standard 100% whey is made in their state-of-the-art facility. It's banned substance tested by Informed Choice. And with Optimum Nutrition Athletics program, you can get different products such as their Pro Gainer, which is their mass gainer, protein snacks such as the crisp bars, wafers, cake bites, and almonds. And oh my goodness, those crisp bars, ooh, are they so good. The vanilla marshmallow one is magnificent. Recently just had the salted toffee one, I believe is the flavor. That one is wonderful too as well. Big, big fan. And after dominating the sports and nutrition industry for over 30 years, newly created Optimum Nutrition Athletics brings that same trust and quality that knows how to put convenient options for protein in the hands of athletes who desire to become bigger, stronger, and better at their sport. We're talking about the gold standard here, guys. And Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics, his information is down in the show notes. You can quickly email him where he'll get back to you and being able to get the products and get you what you need for your athletes and for your facility. Highly suggest you reach out to him. These are absolutely wonderful products, guys. This is the gold standard. We've all been using it. It's an awesome product, awesome company. And Dave is a wonderful person. I can't thank him enough. And for Optimum Nutrition Athletics for being the sponsor of the podcast. So, guys, make sure you reach out down there. Again, they have easy protein snacks to get into your athletes. I know how tough that can be sometimes. We don't know what's going on outside of the weight room. But, hey, you know that you can get good quality protein to them inside of the weight room with those different options that they have with the crisp wafers and cake bites with Optimum Nutrition Athletics. So again, thank you, Dave Harvey and Optimum Nutrition Athletics, for being our sponsor. And now for our guests this week. It is Dylan Leffingwell and Daniel Wedding. These are two really great friends, two great high school strength and conditioning coaches. I mean, these guys are killing it at their level. I really just suggest you guys reach out to these guys. Look up their social medias. They're doing amazing things at the high school level. I learned so much in this episode, and we could have talked for hours. I mean, this is a really great episode, really in-depth on a lot of different topics. So appreciate just them being on the podcast this week. Make sure you guys reach out to them. Reach out to all of our past guests. Thank you to our past guests. Thank you for Dylan and Daniel for being our guests this week. Thank you to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics for being our presenting sponsor. Make sure you reach out to Dave and Optimum Nutrition Athletics. It's down in the show notes. Make sure you give it 5 stars on Apple Podcast. And everybody, stay strong. One. What's up, guys? Strength Talking Shop podcast. Got two wonderful coaches on here. Coach Wedding, previously on the podcast before. Got Coach Dylan, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Great to be here. Ready to get it rolling after our little conversation before recording here. So very excited.
Well, these are two very good friends. Used to work with each other. I think you guys even said lived with each other, if I recall. Oh, man, there's some stories there for sure then. Well, hey, let's go ahead and jump in here real quick. Dylan, can you kind of give a background real quick of where you're at? And then Daniel, real quick, too, as well for yourself, like just where you're at as far as locations and stuff like that.
Yeah, so location, I'm at Granville High School in Granville, Ohio, about 30 minutes east of Columbus, where I'm contracted through Ohio State Wexner Medical Center. Similar to how athletic trainers at a lot of places work for hospitals and they're sent to high schools to work there. So, but Granville High School is where I'm at as a strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah. And then, for me, I'm in Youngstown, Ohio. So kind of Northeastern Ohio. I'm at Austintown Fitch, where I work with 7th through 12th grade, in the school, and that's just strictly athletics. So I don't dabble in the general population.
Awesome. So as you know, both of you guys are high school strength coaches. You guys both come from the college ranks prior to that. What is like the biggest transition that you guys have had coming from the college side now to the high school side?
Oh my gosh. I mean, for me, Daniel had experience prior to East Tennessee when we worked together at Tusculum. So I felt like, you know, where we always talk every single day and just chat it up about anything, you know, he kind of already had, like, you know, in mind of, you know, very general of what he wanted to do. And so did I coming to Granville, but, you know, we didn't get a lot of chances to, I guess, run a team ourselves while we were at East Tennessee. We just were strictly football. So we would always, you know, test on ourselves, which is great. You know, we would each write up a program, what, every month or so, each write one up together or separate and just try it out. But, you know, it was a big, big shock, you know, coming in. You know, the good thing was we started out pretty low attendance wise, you know, good and bad. And then we've just built it up over time here at Granville. But just getting into it and actually having the responsibility of all those teams was a big shock, but also just super fun. Cause just knowing that, like, this is, you know, this is mine or this is ours and we can make it what we want. And just, you know, even now, like, I'm still like adjusting, you know, I could like something one week and then the next week, you know, 5 or 10 new kids come in. I'm like, okay, this doesn't work at all for them. You know, we got to change it up here a little bit to something that's similar for the kids that have been there, but like, helps the other kids along.
Yeah, I think for me, the big one was coming down to high school was patience. Learning how to have patience, understanding that, you know, not everyone is in love with the weight room like I am. Sometimes the kids are here because they want to be here. Sometimes the kids are here because, you know, their mom or their dad ran cross country and now they're participating in it and they're expected to be there. And, you know, just finding a way to build relationships and connect with the kids and the coaches, because, you know, when I was at Tusculum, I got a chance to do that as a student assistant. I assisted with football. And then basically my supervisor at the time was like, hey, you're on your own. You build these relationships, you write the programs, you run it how you want to. So I think I said in the last podcast I did with you, I had a chance to make a lot of mistakes. So I got those out of the way, but it also taught me lessons on how to build relationships with these new coaches I have. And I know KPIs is one of the things that we're going to talk about. And a lot of times KPIs have to do with numbers, but I think relationships is a big KPI that needs to be considered each and every single day, whether you're talking with coaches or the kids.
Can you kind of go in a little bit more into that then? Let's go ahead and dive into the KPIs and stuff like that. You know, you talked about numbers, but the relationship side of it too.
Yeah. So first off, I want to say that if I say anything that sounds smart, I probably learned it from someone else. And if I say anything that sounds really dumb and it doesn't make any sense, chances are I taught myself that. So I'm a big believer in, you know, no one's self-made. You know, you're kind of a combination of everyone's thoughts and ideas and what you feel are the right ones. So shout out to Carlo Alvarez on this one. The first thing, that piece of advice he gave me coming in, was relationships at the high school level. And I got different advice when I came here. It was, do you try to get all the teams on at once, you know, or do you try to invest in these teams? And as those teams see success, then slowly begin to bring them on as kind of the coaches come knocking on your door. The approach I took was, I want everyone to feel like they're just as important as football, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, everyone's always looking at football. What are you doing with football? And they're always going to say that you're either a football guy or you actually do care about the other sports. So when I took the job, you know, I got in contact with basically every coach and was like, hey, I want to start working with you now. It was long days. I worked like 7 to 7, nonstop straight through, but I had all the teams one-on-one and I tried to build those relationships with the coaches and the players right off the bat. So they knew that I cared about them. I didn't want them to think, oh, he only cares about football. And now he's been here for 6 months. Now we get the chance to start working with him. So I try my best to make all our teams, you know that they're important and their successes as well as their failures matter, whether it be academic or athletic.
No, I like that a lot, man. I think that there's a lot of key points in there. And dude, I'm sure you can agree with that. It's like, it doesn't really matter about the sport. Like, you just want to help the kid get to the best that they possibly can, right? And that's the end game as a coach, right? You want to bring them up to the next level, to whatever that level is going to be. Because, like, I'm sure both of you guys at the high school level, I mean, even at the college level, not all these guys are going to go play college ball and they're going to be pro athletes. They're just going to be regular Joes out in the workforce, you know, and you're helping them get a little bit healthier, get them to enjoy a little bit of fitness and stuff like that for the, you know, Daniel, you're dealing with them from 7th to 12th grade, so 5 years, and then, you know, 4 years with you, Dylan. I think that's super important where you can find that relationship side.
No, I completely. I mean, I just kind of started with 7th graders. I've been having 8th grade, I just have a middle school group. But, I mean, I think what you said, Matt, right there about, like, you're providing these kids with the tools not only they need for athletics if they choose to after high school, but also tools to just be healthy. You know, I joke sometimes with my football players because they always want to, like, just write. It was like not even a week that I got there and started working with football, and they want to start doing back squat right away before I've even seen any of them move. Coach, can we back squat? Coach, can we back squat? I'd be like, why? Well, we want to do more weight. I'm like, what? I'm like, you don't even know how to skip. You, like, your arms are all messed up skipping. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here? And they're like, well, we just want to do more weight. I'm like, why else? They're like, crickets. I'm like, okay, that's all you got for me. All right, let's back up. Let's get all this other stuff out of the way. But, like, one of the things I would joke about with them, I was like, I want you to be able to squat so well with any implement or any way that, like, when you're at a gym, whether you're at the weight room with your team in college or you're just at, you know, Joe's Jughead Gym, where all the college kids go, like, everyone can look at you and be like, dang, that kid squats really well. Like, they do a great job. They move really well. Like, I want to learn from that kid or something like that. But, yeah. Or, like, you know, Daniel and I have seen, you know, college guys that don't even know how to hinge, you know. So attacking those movements, you know, early and often is big for me. Kind of went off on a tangent there, but you raised a good point about Matt, about providing healthy opportunities or providing them with the tools. And that's just something, you know, we really try to push before anything else.
Well, I think that's important because, you know, I could think back, you know, when I was in high school, I was lucky enough to have a great high school football coach who was also a great strength coach too as well. And he would do, like, chocolate milk studies with Gatorade on us in the weight room to see how we recovered and stuff like that, you know. But I still take to this day what you said, Dylan. Like, we didn't initially back squat. Like, we started with a free squat, then we went to a goblet squat. You know, we progressed slowly, right? And then I got to see that as I got older. So when I was out of high school and I was in college, I could actually go to the fitness center and not need to go hire a personal trainer. You know, I could kind of do stuff on my own. And then two, we all know how bad dietary choices are, kids can be with, like, college and as you get older, right? So if you set a foundation of, like, you know, we're not dietitians, we're not nutritionists, but we can get the right tools for the kids. Like, man, look at what's going to happen when they're 30 years old and they start having kids and they have a wife or a husband and stuff like that. I mean, it's little things that as a coach, you don't realize that you have such a longevity of a factor in their life and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, like, nutritionally, that's why I always repost Wendy all the time, like, on Instagram or Twitter. I'm just always like, you know what? I'm not even going to attempt and make a mistake. I'm like, I'll just repost, tag our athletics page, and I'm good. Yeah. And I'm like, she knows what she's talking about. So,
well, that's the thing. Yeah. There's great resources out there like that. You know, you can, that's out of our scope, right? But we can still at least get the right people around us that can give the talks. Like, Wendy, she's awesome. She's perfect. And I know, Daniel, you can probably attest to that as well. Like, you guys have started to use a little bit of Optimum Nutrition stuff too as well. Like, just being able to help the kids get in the right position forward is, like, exactly where we want to be at.
Yeah. As far as relationships go, one thing that I didn't touch on, I talked about coaches and players, but I think it's also important that you have a great relationship. One of the reasons I feel like we've been so successful at Austintown is because from the top down, I have great support from the administration, but also always make sure that I know other people within the school building. So, you know, I'm going in, talking with the principals. We go in, we talk with, we have a registered dietitian on campus, you know, and we just met last week about setting up our summer nutrition program for the kids. So, hey, what time are the groups going to be? Is the lunch going to be ready for them? Okay, let's say if they can't get around at the lunchtime, now we need to pack this many bags to be able to provide them with some nutrition over the summer. So your relationships go so much farther than just your coaches and your players. I know some of my favorite people on campus are the maintenance people and the janitors. And, you know, and I tell the kids all the time, like, thank your lunch ladies, you know, ask people how they're doing, speak with the people that you don't see yourself normally talking to, you know. It goes so far. You don't realize how far it goes. Not only, you know, people will step out and be willing to help you, but know that, you know, you care about them as a person. So relationships are so much more than players and coaches. And it took me a while to realize that. But, you know, we're heading the right way here. So just something to think about.
Yeah. Would you guys both say that it's kind of how you present yourself too, as well? You know, like, I think sometimes, like, as a strength coach, you'll kind of get that stigma of, like, puffed out chest, wearing a tight t-shirt, you know, wearing shorts every single day. You know, I've had this discussion quite a few times with people where it's like, you know, maybe when you go to these meetings, you dress up nice, you look good, like, you be presentable and stuff like that. Would you kind of find that too as well? Like, how you present yourself will go a long way in creating those relationships too as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I know my first year at ETSU, I was like, if it was cold, no hoodie, you know, always the tight t-shirt, getting a pump before practice or before a game, which is cool, which is great, it's fun, but it's like, you know, you start to realize, okay, no one really cares. Like, for maybe 5 seconds, you know, people will care or you'll care, but like, that's not what you need to be. So like, yeah, showing up for meetings, like, now, like, just keep a polo and khaki pants in your car, yeah. Like, just, or keep it in the office or whatever. And just like, okay, I'm going to go see the principal. Maybe I should throw something on. But there's always that balance of, like, you know, just having fun, having a little juice about you, you know,
yep.
Also being, you know, presentable. And, you know, you always see it on Twitter, like, people arguing, like, you know, you should be this way, you shouldn't be that way. It's like, you know, first off, just be who you are. Like,
yep.
Honestly, if you're that person within, see, and I'm providing constraints, but like, within reason, I feel like, you know, you can be that person and still be like respected if you, yep. In those moments, you're like, you know, hey, you know, I'm not, you know, this is where I'm at right now, you know, I got my stuff on, like, let's talk, let's chat, let's build this and see where we can go for the kids. But, you know, but also, everyone knows, if you're in the weight room and you're just like a stick in the mud, I mean, you're not really providing the greatest training atmosphere. You know, so, and it's hard to find that balance. And I think as a young coach, still, I guess, a young coach, and when we were at ETSU together, it was like finding that balance. Because, you know, the kids, you know, at the college level are like, they want you to be excited with them and be pumped with them, you know, not out in front of them, but with them, beside them, I think is big. And I think, you know, there probably are some coaches that definitely try to be, you know, puffing the chest out in front of the camera, doing all that stuff. But I mean, you know, outside looking in, you can always give your opinion and what you think, but, you know, if you're doing it the right way and you're alongside your kids, you know, I think that's good stuff. So
yeah, I agree with that for sure. What are some of the KPIs, you know, other than the relationship sides, you know, Daniel and Dylan, that you guys kind of find that you have at the high school level?
I think, you know, kind of with the relationships, I do, like, attendance is my big one right now. Because our first goal was, you know, especially working with Ohio State and then, like, being able to work with our kids here, is like, just, you know, getting kids in here and being able to track and see it, you know, hopefully trend upwards, which we definitely have here. I think November we had 76, and now I'm at in February we're at 272, and then we should be around 300 now, which is really cool. And then, you know, another little thing, kind of like Daniel said with relationships, you know, sometimes you can't always put that stuff on paper, But I had like a spring cleaning day. What was that? Yesterday, where I just said, hey, you can come train for an hour and then we're going to clean and organize the weight room. And I think I had more kids come help clean and organize the weight room than I did come train. Now, that may have been because the training opportunity was at 9 a.m. on a Saturday and none of them wanted to wake up. But it was cool to see, like, you know, kids pop in and out during the cleaning. Some kids had to leave early after training, which I was totally fine with. You know, I wasn't going to coerce them into staying. You know, I wanted them to be there. And then when we were kind of breaking it down and stuff, you know, the kids were all like, coach, this place looks really cool now. Like, it's clean. You know, there's not dust everywhere or anything like that. Like, this place looks good. And they have some pride in that. But the other KPIs I have currently are fly 10s with the 15-yard built-in, broad jump. I track bench. So I guess if I track it, that means I prioritize it. So I track bench, but a lot of, for the most part, that is so no one crushes their sternum and try to do too much weight all the time, if I'm just being completely honest. I'm about to start hitting front squat with, you know, some of my more experienced teams, like football is definitely hitting a 3-rep max on front squat tomorrow at 7:30. So they got to get ready to go. And then I'm waiting on my Just Jump mat to start tracking burp.
Ooh, nice, nice.
Yeah. Well, that's where I'm at right now. I, you know, not a lot. You know, I'm trying to just, you know, still figuring stuff out. I mean, Daniel and I talk all the time, and I'm always, like, just bouncing questions off him, you know, because I'm like, you know, I'm still building. I'm still growing, which, you right. know, I'm not going to try to come on here. Kind of like Daniel said, like, we're all – made by the people around us, and I'm not going to try to come on here and be like, you know, I'm an expert, like, yeah, this is my stuff, like, you know, this is the way to do it, this is the only way to do it. Like, no, man, like, I'm still building, I'm still growing. So
love that, man. Love it.
So for me, I got one more other qualitative one in my mind, and that one's movement quality. Mm. Now I know that, like, some people will do, you know, the FMS and see how their kids move and stuff like that, you know, stick a number or rate them or whatever. But, you know, more than anything, it's your coach's eye. And I think that should take precedence over how much weight they're doing or anything like that. What's the quality of our movement? Are there any breakdowns? Do we see any weak links within the movement that we kind of need to address? Because that movement quality is going to determine the progressions or regressions of the movements that you're going to do. So that one's extremely important to us. You know, I believe it, I hope I don't pronounce this wrong, but Joey Burgles, you know, he does a great job having his kids coach the other kids up. And one thing that I was really bad at when I got here was, like, I'm going to do the coaching and you all kind of listen. And so now I've tried to put a little bit more ownership on our kids of coaching each other. And honestly, like, they've taken pride in it because they know how important the quality of the movement is. I get kids that share videos all the time of those terrible TikTok cleans with me. And I always respond like, you think that would fly in our weight room? No, sir. So, you know, movement quality is big time. As far as quantitative, I got weight room categories and field categories. These are kind of always changing. As your program grows and evolves, so too should your KPIs, because, you know, when I feel like when I took over, everything was like super basic. We're just working on the little things, being able to own our body weight and things like that. So, you know, max push-ups, max chin-ups. Then you put in there, you know, 3 to 5 RMs. If the kid is within reason, moves well enough and is old enough, in my opinion, to front squat, back squat, bench or deadlift, you know, that can be trap bar or barbell, whichever you choose. The important thing is I track barbell deadlift. All right. If you want to do trap bar, like, that's perfectly fine. I have 14 racks and I have 6 trap bars. I'm not going to spend all day waiting on those 6 trap bars to figure out what's going on. Not going to do it. All right. So barbell deadlift works for me. Maybe you have more trap bars than regular barbells and you choose trap bar deadlift as your KPI. And that is perfectly fine. you know, what fits your situation best. So, and then we'll compare it with their weight. So absolute relative strength with those lifts. Now, eventually, will we get to a point when I feel comfortable enough? Not all of my teams do Olympic lifting or Olympic derivatives. Once again, it goes back to movement quality. Do I feel comfortable enough with this team taking on those movements? If I do, we'll measure it. If I don't, we won't measure it. I'm not just going to get a number to get a number, okay? Mm-hmm. As far as field stuff goes, the 40-yard dash, you know, some people may say, well, you're not going to run in a straight line for 40 yards. Yeah, but what do most kids equate how fast they run with? The 40-yard dash. You know, so it is the king in that sense. So you got to measure it. We'll do flies. We'll do accelerations, vertical jump, broad jump, pro shuttle, and the L drill. And then some people will say, well, with your pro shuttle and your L drill, you know, you can learn how to do those and you can shave off a decent amount of time. That is true. But at the high school level, me and Dylan were talking earlier, at the high school level, if there's a significant enough improvement in those, you're definitely going to tell that there's an improvement on the field as well. And then if I was to add anything into that eventually, you know, testing RSI, you know, their reactive strength and their ability to hit the ground and get back up and take advantage of that stretch shortening cycle. And then my last one would be, and I'm going to try to keep this pretty short. My last one would be injuries, you know, every coach has in their mission statement or their program goals that their goal is to either prevent injuries, depending on how they want to word it, or reduce injuries, because you're never going to prevent them all. So are you tracking that? You know, it's, if that is one of your program's goals, it is not, in my mind, your athletic trainer's job to track that. Is it their job to track it? I mean, yeah, but it's also your job to keep up with it too. So I like to do comparisons of sports seasons to each other. So we compared last fall to this fall, and we break it down into various categories, me working alongside my athletic trainer, because, you know, it's teamwork. It's not just me doing it or not just her doing it. We work together, but we break it down into breaks, strains, concussions. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. It gets pretty detailed. And then we compare each sport to the previous year within each category. And then we compare boys versus girls and so on and so forth. We get pretty detailed with it, but I think if that's one of your major program's goals, that should be a big, big KPI for you. And if you can show that you're reducing injuries, not to get into the financial aspect of what we do, but when you want to go and talk about your value, you have to have something to back that up. And if reducing injuries is a big part of that, you need to be keeping up with that.
No, that's great stuff right there, especially the injury side. Because two, it allows you to look back at your own program. Hey, we saw in March there was a ton of hamstring pulls. Well, what the heck were we doing in the weight room or on the field that was maybe causing that, right? That gives you an easy way to look back into your programs. And then two, Daniel, you talked about in the very beginning, and Dylan, you talked about this as well, is you set the standard for what these KPIs are going to be in the future, right? So, Daniel, you said you had a short list. Dylan, you've got a short list right now because you're just kind of where you're at. Now look at what you're at, Daniel. It's evolved over time, right? You've been able to add more stuff. I mean, can you guys talk about the importance of being able to slowly build up the program to get to all the KPIs that, like, say you have, Daniel, versus like when you know, some people want to come out the gates, like you said, with like 20 different things that they want to accomplish. It's like, maybe if we do one or two, then we'll have four. Can you guys talk about the importance of slowly building that up?
I mean, I think it kind of goes with that like slow cook mindset for the kids. Yeah. I mean, not just like putting them under everything you got, you know, that you, whether you learned it at the college ranks or whatever, and just slowly building it up and what you can manage and consistently track by yourself. I mean,
true.
I know Daniel's got, you know, usually every semester and in the summer, Daniel's been getting some really good interns. Like, he's had some really good kids there. I've been up there a few times to help him do that. And I know right now I'm trying to get some from a local college that's in Granville. But you know, COVID, you know, whatever it is, some people may not want to and things like that, but I'm still going to work on it. But, you know, right now what I have, you know, I feel comfortable tracking for the teams that do them. And similar to Daniel's point, there's a lot of teams like, you know, I haven't even had them broad jump yet because I don't feel comfortable with them landing. Like, it's not from a, you know, I don't think they're, you know, that athletic or anything, or I don't want to track it because I'm lazy. I just, you know, quite honestly, just don't think they're ready for it. And maybe that's soft. Maybe that's holding them back too much. I'd rather probably sometimes be more on that fence than I would be on the, yep, let's just throw everything at them and let's just do it. You know, maybe I should be more like that. Maybe not, but I just want to slowly, slowly build it up, hitting the things I find important and build it up over time. So that way, you know, they have the chance to keep building and growing and moving better. You know, Daniel's talking about movement quality, and Coach Berglis, you know, he's a great follow. So if you don't follow him, whether you agree with everything he does, you know, a lot of people aren't real big on his, you know, full range of motion on their front squats and stuff. And, you know, you feel like you see people talking about that all the time, and trap, you know, Daniel starts talking about trap bar and straight bar, we're going to cause a fire on, you know, Twitter or text messages from other coaches. But it's just, you know, I want to look at like front squat tomorrow with football. I want to look at their movement quality, which is, you know, for me, it's going to be their depth. Are they driving with their legs? So like they're keeping a vertical torso when they drive it up. And then do they, I mean, just in general, have control of the weight. And whether that's a 1, 2, or 3 grade, or it's just like me writing it down and then putting a note like, hey, take off this much from that weight, they should be good. And then slowly just keep track of that over time is what I want to do. But, you know, I think it just comes back to slowly building it up for yourself too, not only for the kids. I mean, because you got to be able to keep track of it and monitor it and know when you want to do it again, or maybe you do just a test week and you don't touch it again. Whatever it is, just be able to do it and do it seamlessly and effectively for not only yourself, but for the kids.
Yeah, if you don't have the – I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but if you kind of don't have the proper – I'll just say help because we're talking about interns in place, it's kind of hard to do. All those ones that I just used, I do use with football. That's a lot of data to collect. And if you look at my spreadsheet and you look at it, you'd be like, oh my God, look at all those numbers. And it does get a little overwhelming in terms of, you know, keeping up with it. And to be honest, like as you go and you learn and you evolve, those things will change. I used to be very big kill trees person. And everything had to be on paper. I think I got that from Coach Johnson. everything had to be on paper. And finally I was like, I'm getting some iPads. I'm saving an extra hour and just, you know, doing it while I'm standing on an iPad from now on. But like Dylan said, it's a slow cook process. And so if you automatically like right out of the gate, make it only about the numbers, then that's all the kids are going to care about is only the numbers. So how I do it does not matter at all as long as I get that bigger number, okay? And so that's why movement quality should take precedence over numbers, you know? I'll give you an example. When we do our barbell deadlift, if we have a team's test, guess what? I don't make them do traditional or sumo. I let them choose, and that choice also comes with what puts this athlete in a much safer position to pull. Does their anatomy essentially call for sumo deadlift as opposed to traditional deadlift in order for them to keep a neutral spine? If so, guess what? Go ahead, my man, sumo, you know, sumo pull, because I feel that you're going to be in a safer position and we're still going to get the force production that we want out of the lift. So there's lots of factors. We could get into all the little things that may affect, you know, what you choose to do or how you choose to do it. But, you know, I think it all comes back to movement quality and how much you can manage and how much you feel you can manage comfortably, like Dylan said.
I agree with that 100%. You know, if you've ever read, like, I'm sure you guys have read, you know, like 5-3-1, or you hear, you know, Jim Wendler talks about his training principles, right? So he's got his 5-set training principles. And I love those because it allows you to set the standard of what you're going to have in your weight room. And it allows you too, as well, to be like, all right, if it doesn't fit my principles, I'm going to throw it out. Can you guys talk about what maybe some of your principles that you have come up with over the years and maybe how they've evolved, or maybe they've come and gone and stuff like that, and how it fits into your program? I just stumped you both big time.
Do you want to, as far as like for me, movement quality is a big one. Are there times that we'll do, you know, 3 rep maxes and 5 rep maxes and maybe even 1 rep maxes, depending on how comfortable I am with the team doing it? Yeah. I actually just shared a document with Dylan the other day, and I'm still like I said, everything is constantly evolving. And one of my goals here is to reach all the way down into 6th grade and then slowly get into general population as well, and making it part of the PE curriculum and beginning with our kind of like a similar to a block 0 in 6th grade, and then advancing it to a what we would call at that point tier 2 with 7th and 8th grade, tier 3 with 9th and 10th, and tier 4 with 11th and 12th. Now, just because you're in that grade doesn't mean you stay in that tier. Obviously, you have the kids that are, you know, they bloom super early, and then you have some kids that bloom super late. But everything always goes back to movement quality, you know, in the beginning tiers, progressive overload, you know, linear, very, very slowly, no rush there whatsoever, a lot of focus on tempo, very, very light percentages. And I think you can kind of get in trouble programming percentage based with some of your younger kids, because the max is like a pinball. Like if you train by maxes with young kids, it's like a pinball, because they're going through, you know, puberty and all the hormones are working, like that max is all over the place, and their boyfriend or their girlfriend broke up with them, and now it's super low that day. And so everything will go back to movement quality, progressive overload starting out, and then we will find for the team, in my opinion, I don't do like traditional periodization, linear. I don't only do block periodization or conjugate. I try to pick what I feel best fits that team, because every single team is a different team every single year. So, you know, someone's going to say I'm copping out and saying like, oh, it just depends, but it really does. Like, You gotta look at every single team and situation objectively, you know, each and every single year.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, you're going to change so much that, like, I mean, right now, if someone were to look at what I'm doing, most of my teams, they'd be like, you know, especially people who don't really know, they're gonna be like, why does everything look the same? I'm like, well, one, I'm still, you know, building our program here and making sure our movement quality is high. And I get a lot of kids who've never, you know, I could have a group that's been going for, you know, a month or 2 months straight, and I'm like, okay, now let's start to advance it. And then boom, 10 new kids right in the gate that I've never met before, never seen before. Just cause, you know, it's not required at high school, in the high school, unless they're in season and their coach makes them come. So like right now, my most advanced teams are my indoor track. And the reason I say indoor is because we just, you know, are switching to outdoor, and it went from like a 50 kid roster to like 120, which is going to be a nice big issue that I'm, you know, excited to have. And it's going to create problems for, you know, weight room time and stuff like that, which I can't wait, you know, a little side note, can't wait to tell like our AD and our principal, like, hey, do you want me to just start like kicking people out and not like, you want me to keep them? You want me to have them start at like 10 PM? You know, just don't let them sleep. What do you want? So I'm excited to give that, send that email or send that text message. But I mean, just, I know, I'm sure this time next year, I'll be totally different. You know, you see coaches tweet all the time, like, you know, I'm big on a really good deep front squat right now because I want them to be able to handle a full range of motion and be strong in those positions. I'm sure by the time I've built that base next year, I'll be like, yeah, we're good with that. You know, we can do that whenever we want. Now we're just focusing on this. But, you know, everything for me right now is so basic, and I'm just trying to keep it simple, you know, using tempos. I would have always thought tempos were for like, you know, hypertrophy work or something, but now it's like tempo work, you know, help my young kids and some of my older kids out so much. Like one kid, you know, I started with football going in the mornings. Well, I had no idea a good portion of this group to my left was eighth graders, just because, like, I guess our coach sent out the message like, hey, you can train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday in the morning, 7:30 to 8:30. And he sent, you know, I guess we sent it out to the eighth graders. I guess that's something they've done, you know, all the time before I got there. And so I had no idea there's eighth graders over here. And I'm just seeing the barbell just like flapping in the wind, you know, just full honesty, like no idea. So I'm like, oh, okay. Cause some of the older kids already got through some of our tempo stuff. They're controlling it. They're working, you know, working hard. So I'm like, you know, I put the young kids on the tempo stuff. Now a kid who could barely control a five on each side, he's, you know, got 25 on each side. Still having them control it. Now I'm kind of, you know, to the point now where I'm making almost all of our kids pause on the chest before they press up a bench, just so that way they don't, you know, let the thing fly down and crush themselves, which I'm really liking, you know, because, you know, if you tell a kid 3 seconds down, you'll probably get like two. You know, you tell a kid pause on the chest, you'll get a good controlled tap on the chest and drive it up. So, you know, that goes another whole conversation, like with tempo work. You know, there's maybe a couple times where I counted out the seconds on the way down and, you know, which is great. Everything looked how I wanted. Awesome. Sweet. You know, this is how I want it to look all the time. But then it's like, you look around, the kids are like bored, you know, they're not, they didn't seem to be enjoying as much. So like going back to teaching the kids to coach themselves, be good coaches, extra eyes in the room, trying to put the onus on them to keep it going. Went totally off from, I think, from your question there, but
I like the tempo work though, because especially for, I mean, at all levels, like I power lift and I do tempo work for myself, because you just need to slow things down sometimes. And especially with high school and eighth grade kids and seventh grade kids, like, man, they're just coming into their bodies. They're just learning how to move and stuff like that. I think the tempo work's awesome, but like you said, Dylan, giving them the ownership to kind of coach themselves up. You know, I had a great guy on here, Derek Berry. He talked about that, where maybe the first few weeks he did the counting, and then as the weeks progressed on slowly, they did the counting themselves. And he just kind of, he's like, I just stood back and watched and just made sure the movement quality looked good. So I think tempo work is something that doesn't really matter the level. I think is an easy thing to throw into your program that just allows things to, I won't want to say the word reset, but kind of reset things in a way. You know what I mean? As we wind down a little bit here, you know, you guys have both have talked about just kind of movement. Where are you guys looking that in? Is it in the warmups? Is it when they're coming in, they're starting to do their tissue work maybe? I don't know how that all works out. Or is it when they're doing the warm-up sets, when they're getting ready for their big lifts? You know, how are you guys analyzing that?
I would say all the above. Warm up a little bit. But like I'm starting to get to a point where like I'm usually don't pair a lot of stuff currently, just because I just want to get more quality rather than just a quantity right now. And then obviously we'll get to a point where I feel comfortable anyway. So like I'm starting to pair, like if we're doing barbell RDLs or dumbbell RDLs for the young kids, whatever it is, I want to work on their ankle mobility. And a big thing, again, shouting out to Coach Burgless, because that front foot elevated split squat and getting their knees past their toes, you know, now I'm starting to put that, like you're saying, in the warm up. Or, and then not only that, but then maybe right after that, having them body weight squat tempo in the warm up, just seeing where they're at. You know, right now I have my kids raise their heels when they squat, but I want to get away from that. Obviously, I don't want to do that forever. I want to get to a point where, you know, again, going back to that, providing, you know, healthy habits, quality movement. So just kind of looking at it throughout, you know, the training day and whatever it is. So if my main emphasis is a squat, I want to look at it in the warm-up, see how we're moving, be able to give some feedback to some kids in the warm-up, be like, hey, like, you know, you're looking like ankles are a little stiff. Let's hit a little more ankle mobility and see how that helps you in the squat today. You know, if it was a kid who, maybe they're really mobile, so I can just see right off the bat, like, hey, you don't need to raise your heels. Like, dude, you're going to be good. All right. As long as you control the weight and do the things to the standard that we want. So I think finding ways to incorporate it in the warm-up, again, not only just adding the tempos on your main lifts, but also, you know, on things that are similar to that lift in the warm-up, you can add a tempo to and, you know, get warmed up, prep tissue for the lift and things like that.
You can see, for me, the warm-up is really important. You'll see kids when they come in, you know, lunges, we do, you know, forward lunges, reverse lunges, lateral lunges. Like, those are a big one that I look at for movement quality personally, in our main warm-up. And then, you know, we'll do things like knee hugs and quad pulls with a reach. And then I'll say, like, because I do a lot of the controlled articular rotations too, and okay, and trying to get in the pels and the rails. And then I'll just look at it and say, okay, you know, which one of these do I need to address? Because at the end of the day, like, you have, when you're looking at a team, I'll give you, right now we have 83 kids in football, not including our track or our baseball kids. So when I'm looking at that, obviously I can't see everything that's going on. I wish I could, but I can't.
Back of your head, come on.
Yeah, I know. And so, you know, there's an overarching theme for the group that you may feel that you need to address. And then another thing that I'm looking for is, what are we doing, and like, how locked in and focused are we during our warm-up sets? Okay. Because if everything's looking bad during our warm-up, so let's say we're front squatting. If we're not, like, taking that bar out, moving it with intent, and we're not, like, our feet aren't rooted, I'm a big believer in, like, everything starts at the feet and the ankle. And so if there's, like, when a person goes down, they may have a full range of motion squat, but their ankles are inverted. And, like, over time, like, you don't think – you may look at that and be like, oh, but he's got really great squat depth, but – that's going to be an issue later on down the road. At some point, that is going to become an issue if we don't address it. Now, I'm pretty lucky to have the interns I have with the relationship I have with YSU. Every time we get new kids, because it's high school, whether you want to act like this happens or doesn't happen, like, there's going to be kids that just randomly show up. It is what it is. Like, they're going to randomly show up. Now, culture will drive that a little, as far as, like, the expectations are, you're here on day one. And then, you know, some teams that may not have as good of a culture will have more random showing up, but most of our kids know the drill. And if we get a new kid, my interns are with the normal team, or with, you know, the normal large group. And I am basically, for the most part, onboarding middle schoolers or someone that just showed up, because I'm going to be super picky. I'm going to hammer them. They're going to know what the standard is and what we expect, and just setting that tone from the beginning.
I love that, man. Setting the tone from the beginning. That's the biggest thing that you could, you know, right from the get-go, they know what you got to bring into the weight room. But then too, I think you both have really kind of highlighted something. I think you might've said earlier too, Daniel, like, you got to have a good coaching eye. And that's why I love the warm-up, is like, that's where you can really find a lot of how the workout's going to go. If you have a great warm-up, like, and the, you know, the guys and the girls are really chatty, they're ready to go, let's get after it. You know, if things are looking good, and it allows you to be proactive versus being reactive to things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, for me, I mentioned the lateral lunge. Like, if you want to see a kid that struggles to move and has bad hip mobility, if it needs to address, like, I always, like, when we do lateral lunge, it's always the main one I'm looking at. I can see what our ankle mobility looks like. I can see what our hip mobility looks like. I can see if we struggle keeping a vertical torso. That's a big one. But yeah, you know, the warm-up, and I put this on our warm-up sheet that I hand our interns, is the warm-up sets the tone for the session. Yep. So when we're going through our warm-up, obviously we want to be focused. We want them to be chatty and have energy. I'm okay with that. But we also have to know that there's a line between chatty and goofing off. And then we have to set a sense of urgency in the warm-up too. So from the start, it's, you know, boom, pace, tempo, we're getting after it. Then we might slow it down a little bit for cars or pels and rails. But we know as soon as that whistle blows and we stand up, clap it up, we're getting after it again right after that. And then, but, you know, once again, you know, that rolls back around to the culture thing that we've tossed back and forth a little bit here and there.
Man, you kind of mentioned something with your warm-up. Like, I've got a few teams where they've been consistent before they ever had to be there. And like those days when the kids come in, they're just already yelling, like they're knocking on the window outside the weight room when I got a group in there, and I'm like, where is that? And I turn around and it's definitely one kid that always does it. He's like, let's go, coach left. I'm like, oh, here we go. And he's the one who comes in. I'll check the time to start. Everyone's here. I crank the tunes. I shut up. They roll. Like, they know most of the warm-up, definitely at the very beginning. I'll change some things here and there, but like, it's so fun when you get those groups that like you can just crank the tunes. You'd be like, let's go, move. And if they start goofing off, messing around, turn that music off. You tell them, you know, sometimes you restart the warm-up, but I go back, you know, I don't need to be super super hard ass on them or anything like that. I'm just like, you guys know what the deal is. Let's try that one more time. And then we just start rolling. Crank the tunes again. See if we got it. They get it. I mean, almost every time. I think I've only one group I've really had to just be like, all right, we're restarting this whole thing. Because, you know, mm-hmm. like Daniel said, the warm-up can really – it sets the tone for the training session that day. And if we're not locked in, we're not ready to go, then we need to reset. We need to come together. We need to remember why we're here and why it is, you know, we're here and what we're here to do. And if we're not here to do that, you know, let's take it to the house, go get something to eat, reset, come back tomorrow. I mean, not had to do that, probably won't need to do that. Just because, you know, I got a lot of kids, like our off season group is like mixed bag, you know, cause we're still growing, getting teams in and things like that. So I still got kids that have been there since before I got here in November. And like some of them, you know, two or three of them are freshmen that I still have in the off season group. I'm like, all right, you're up. You got the warm up. And they're like, what? They're like, me? I'm like, yeah, I'm cranking the tunes and you got it. You better not mess it up. Let's go. And they kill it. And it just makes me, you know, super happy every time that they can do that. And then, you know, they're pulling in almost doesn't matter what grade the kid is. Like they'll go over to them, these freshman kids, and be like, oh, okay, so like coach wants this on this movement, like you need to push your hips back, you know, nice, you know, things like that. And I'm like, dude, I love it. I was like, I just get out of the way a lot of times. The kids are doing everything and I see it and it looks great and kids are coaching each other up. It's such a great feeling just to step back, shut up, crank the tunes, let it roll.
I freaking love that. You give them the ownership to take over their role and to be a good teammate and to be a leader, give them that leadership role because they're going to need that when they get older. But then, two, it gives them the autonomy because kids want to be treated like adults and you want to give them that right direction, right? Like, give them a leash. And if you can pull them back, you can pull them back, you know? Like, allow them to have some freedom. I think you'll see great results from that, man. That's amazing to hear. Well, as we wind down, I got one question to ask you both. But before I ask that, go ahead and plug all your social media. And my question is going to be, what's one thing that you're grateful for?
Okay. Did you say we're answering the question first or
No, social media first, then the question. That way it gives you a little second to
Social media at @coach_left on Twitter and Instagram. I think those are the only ones I use. Yep. That's it.
Go ahead. You want to say what you're thankful for? Are you going first on that? Go ahead.
What I'm thankful for is people like this this good looking guy with the fresh haircut over here, Daniel. You know, I'm thankful for, yeah, I'm looking at you. But no, thankful for those relationships that, you know, I have to be able to bounce stuff off of him. Like, you know, there'll be days where I'll just be in my own head, you know, as you can be about whether it's your own training or the training you're providing for your kids. And sometimes I'll just get in my own head. I know, you know, usually when I can call Daniel during the day before my groups, I'll call him up, we'll chat it up and, you know, and he'll get me reset and, you know, kind of get my head right for that day's training or the, you know, what I'm doing for the kids. And that's really what I'm thankful for. And then obviously, you know, just, you know, the position I'm in, I'm thankful for the opportunity. Daniel, he actually helped me get this job because he knew the person in charge of the OSU Medical Center, like sports performance staff. So he got me in contact with him. It was a long time coming, and I was able to get here and back to the home state of Ohio, which is really nice because, you know, I could see family and all that. So very, very thankful for that guy Daniel Wedding right there.
I appreciate that, man. Thankful for you too. Hey, for me, I think my Instagram is it's DWED Strength. So that's just DWED and then strength. For my Twitter, I think it's at wedding underscore Daniel. I never changed that. I should probably change that to match up, but that's what it is. As far as what I'm thankful for, man, I'm thankful for my team and my network. The top of that starts with my wife. I wouldn't be where I'm at without her. Without her willing to plug up from Tennessee and move up here with me as well. Everything starts with her and the support that she gives me. As far as my team goes, you know, I consider, you know, what I do is a collective effort, and that's our administrators from, you know, the board, the superintendent, the treasurer, all those people that work there, our athletic director, our principals, the coaches, and even the kids. I mean, there's so much teamwork that goes into me working with the kids. I tell the kids the importance of communicating with me how you're feeling that day. How are you feeling? What are you feeling? How's your training out there going before you come in the weight room? So they don't realize that as far as the success of my program goes is very highly dependent upon them as well, because their feedback is so important to me for me to be able to make adjustments. And then too, like, you know, when I get in over my head, and some days I get frustrated, me and Dylan talk every single day. There'll be times that he'll say something and I'll be like, man, why have I not been doing that? You know, or you know, and I'll start back over, and it's like simple, and I've gotten away from simple, but sometimes simple is so good, you know? So, you know, I have a really good team around me, that allows me to be successful.
Love it. Love it, guys. Well, I'm thankful to have you guys both on the podcast this week. It's an awesome episode. So it's great being able to meet you now, Dylan, and to Daniel, have you on here the second time, guys. I appreciate you.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. It was fun. Maybe one day off camera, we can have conversations just like, you know, we did before we got on here. There's always fun to have, and conversations like this are fun to have. Pretty dang similar to have, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks. Hey, Matt, I appreciate everything that you do for the strength community and getting the names of some of these coaches out here. You know, every single episode, I learn something or I take a little tidbit of it, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, I'm going to take that and hopefully apply it here and see what we can do to make our program better. It's people like you that makes the profession, especially in my mind at the high school level, so special, because it's a family atmosphere, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love being able to get good info out there and to highlight great coaches like you guys, you know, yourselves and everything like that. I think it's super important. And to kind of go off what Dylan said before the podcast, found out that Dylan was a diehard Eddie George fan as well. I was as sure. Well, I love it. So always great to meet somebody that likes Eddie George as well. So guys, thank you so much. Everybody, make sure you follow him on social media. Stay strong. Look at that. You made it all the way to the end of the episode. Well, that's an awesome episode. So thank you so much for our sponsor, Optimum Nutrition Athletics. Make sure you guys reach out to Dave Harvey of Optimum Nutrition Athletics on how you can get that into your facility. Again, his information is down in the show notes. Thank you to our guests this week. Thank you to everybody that supports the podcast. Make sure you give it that 5 stars on Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcast at. And everybody, stay strong.